I titled this Faith, a Growing Proposition. Faith, a Growing Proposition. And we'll find out what I mean by that as we go. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, Apostle Paul writes a number of things for us to overcome the spiritual battle that we will have with the devil. They're all spiritual weapons, but they are replicas or examples or symbols of what the Roman warrior actually wore into battle. And one of those, I want to say this too before I go any further. You know, our message is overcoming fear with faith. Now, it's amazing that in Paul's exposition in chapter 6, that there's very little mention of fear. And all this other, there's no mention of fear. It's not talking about dwell on fear and see what you can do over here on the outside to see if you can overcome it with your faith. Mm-mm. Doesn't have anything to say about fear. It says, hey, build on this side. Build up your faith. Let your faith grow. And then you'll see you don't have to worry about fear. I've probably told this 100 times before, and I know, Brother Frank, I know you probably remember this, but among the many times over the 20-something years we've been together, since I've been to Grace, Frank has just been very, bold with me, telling me things. And I was talking to him about something that was bothering me really bad at that time, and I don't know how I said it, but I used the word fear. I said something about, I'm just afraid if that happens. And Frank let me go. He let me just go completely on this subject. And when I got through, he looked at me and he said, Mike, Christians don't live by fear. Boy, I thought, whoa, I'm out of bounds. And I was. I was terrified of something as if it was going to happen. But what I'm saying all that to tell you is that's not where your emphasis needs to be. That's not where your focus needs to be. Your focus needs to be on faith. And then the fear part will take care of the rest of it. As soon as you see fear come, just blot it out. Shut the door. And then turn to your faith as a proposition to help you get through this life. Now, the shield of faith is what Paul talks about in Ephesians 6 the most. It's the only weapon that's purpose is kind of explained. Now, this shield was, from all accounts, and I looked at different things, and they were different sizes, but from all accounts, it was probably about 4 feet in tall, and then probably about 2.5-something feet wide. Now, I don't know. I guess if you're going to be a soldier, you'd have to be a pretty big one to carry that thing through battle. But that's what they used, and it was mighty important to the warrior because when they went into battle, the enemy at times used, what I would call dirty pool. It's not supposed to be used there. But he would dip the point of the arrow that he was shooting in tar and set it on fire. So what Paul calls the fiery darts of the devil are coming at you through your everyday life, and you need your shield. Because if you don't have your shield, the darts are going to reach you here, and they're going to hurt you, and they're going to make you go back the other way. You don't want to do that. So he said, keep your shield of faith up. They also dip the arrows in a poison. A bit, just put it in a poison. And if the arrow came and it just, say, glanced off your arm or something like that, it got in your bloodstream, it killed you anyway. If it made contact to you, it would kill you. So the shield of faith was so important to the Roman soldier that, it's the one of faith. It's the one instrument of faith that used by Paul. And it was so important to him. Look what John and 1 John 5:4. Look at this. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. And what is it? It's our faith. So if we're going to be overcomers, we're going to need to see how to feed the faith. I mean, we're going to have to understand that that's where our emphasis needs to be, and it doesn't need to be distracted onto other things. So he says we've got to feed the faith. Faith overcomes the world. That's what we're looking for. Now, in Hebrews 11:1, if you would look there with me where it says, probably the best definition of faith that I've ever seen. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now there's two words that I always concentrate when I read that verse. And the first one is hope. The substance of things that are hoped for. When I see that, I align that with the Word of God. Because in the Old Testament, those people had the Word, they had some of the Word of God, and they used the Word of God as their hope for what was going to come to pass. Now, they needed hope, folks, because sometimes 300 and 400 years would pass before the next evidence of God doing anything to them. So what they did is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is what God said was going to happen. So if we have the substance of that in our heart, of what God said was going to happen, and then the evidence is the other word I look at, of the things not seen. In other words, can you believe and put in your heart what you can't see? Do you believe that God can do what he said he could do in the hope for? In the Word of God, it said what God was going to do, what was going to come to pass, and we should be able to believe that. But that's faith. That's the beginning of faith. I always like to tell people this so that they don't get confused with this. You are saved by grace through faith. And then it says, Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, not of yourself. You didn't do anything. God put a measure of faith in your heart to save you. Now, what does that faith allow you to do? It allows you to believe. And you got hope in the evidence of things that aren't seen. That's what that measure of faith does. I'm always really fascinated to see that. I think that's, you know, I've seen people that go through that. And I know when I went through it, I couldn't explain it. I had no idea what it was, but I've seen it many, many times in the ministry, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. But then this evidence of things not seen, I just wrote some things down. We have to believe in a God who can create out of nothing. There can be nothing here, and God can create something. Now, that's difficult for us, isn't it? That's tough. Because that's against anything that's taught to us by science or physics or whatever. You know, that can't happen. But that's what we got to believe. We can't see that, but we got to believe that God can do it. We got to believe in a God that can save a sinner who's nothing, has nothing left but sin. God can save the worst sinner. And I don't know where the word worst comes from or best. It comes from us. It doesn't come from Scripture. Because sin is sin. And sinners are sinners, and we are. We got to believe in a God that can heal a broken body when there is nothing to commence with. And some of us have to go through different things, and I don't want you to pray for me. I got to go back to the doctor Friday, and things are not good. And I just ask you to lift me up in prayer. I seldom ever do that because I don't really like people to know what my business is, but you're my church family, and I love you, and I want you to do that if you would. But God can heal a broken body. Now, I have to believe, and you have to believe, no matter what your ailment is, that God can heal it. You're not going to heaven with it. I can tell you that. It's going to be taken care of before you get there, because when you get there, you're not going to have it. I recently found a picture that somebody at the high school gave to me, and it's a football picture of my brother, who is 87, Sharon, 86. Sharon knows my brothers and sisters better than I do. And that's a good thing. I mean, but he was a big old strapping guy. I mean, played tight end, and he just, you know, nice looking young man. He really was. And he, in this picture, he's down like this, and he's looking, and you know, he's mean like, you know, the Tigers are supposed to be. And then they sent another picture of my brother who's already passed away, and he was very much that same way. But my oldest brother, I sent him a copy of the picture. We didn't do it quick enough, but Sharon did that for him. And when they got the picture, his wife called and said, he, you know, said that really helped him. And he's not doing well. I mean, he's basically sitting around the house and has to go to have kidney dialysis 2 or 3 days a week. So, but he was looking at that. But I thought, you know, when we get to heaven, his kidneys are going to be fine. When we get to heaven, he's going to look more like that guy in that picture than he does now. And that's an unbelievable. I know it's trying hard to believe that. We have a God who answers prayer when all circumstances seem impossible. We have a God that created the world and then called a people unto himself. And he wanted those people to live with him through eternity. He calls you when he saves you, and you've got a place in eternity with him. I don't know how long eternity is. I know in mathematics there's a line that keeps running, and it's called infinity, and it doesn't end. And that's kind of the way I look at eternity. We get to live. He chose you to live with him through eternity. Man, that's quite a big thing right there. Faith is a gift that God gives us, and we have to accept him as Lord. When we accept the word of God that reveals to us that Jesus is Lord, and we accept him as our Savior, then we're saved to be with him forever. Faith shapes our life to conform to the image of Christ. Now, I read that a number of times in the last 3-4 weeks. Faith shapes our life that we can conform to the image of Christ. I don't know about you, but it's difficult for me to ever see my life or my faith conforming to the image of Christ. But when we get to heaven, that's exactly what we're doing here. To get to heaven, and that's what's going to happen. We will be. Now, I'm going to give you three or four quick things here. That's real faith. I'm going to give you 3 or 4 quick things here of how to build your faith. Things that will help you build your faith. First one, actually it's number 2 in the sequence, is we need the Word of God to grow our faith. Now, some literature I read said we need preachers. We need preachers to grow our faith. I was a little shy about putting that one down there. But what do preachers do? But look what the scripture says. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing. You've got to hear somebody in the word of God. Now you can read it. You can actually read it out loud if you want to. You'll be hearing yourself read it, and that's fine. But I think it's a non-negotiable when you start talking about, do I need to go here preaching? It's, absolutely. Every chance, every opportunity you get, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Because God's wanting to bless you a little more, and he's wanting to build your faith. And that's one of the things that building faith comes with. The Word of God is so important. Because here's what I think happens with the Word of God. I believe after you obtain the relationship with God, I believe that the more of God you see in his word, the more marvelous, the more that he'll be. The more outstanding. He'll be unbelievable more as you turn to him and build your faith. He'll be an outstanding God, a bigger God than you ever thought he could be, if you just give in. Reading the faith. D.L. Moody, many of you know, was a preacher in Chicago, Illinois, and he, the Moody Bible Institute, I think he founded. And I read this because it kind of stood in front of that word that we just read, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, he said after he read that scripture numerous times and understood what it meant, he said, I quit closing my Bible up. He said, I was closing my Bible up, spending 20, 30 minutes praying for my faith to grow. He said, what I did, I kept my Bible open and I kept reading so that my faith would grow. And that's a brilliant man and a brilliant Christian that said that. So it can be, you know, it can be deceiving from time to time. And folks, that's why Sunday school, that's why small groups, all of these things are so important. They're so important to you because you get the word of God taught to you. You actually hear it from somebody. You have that opportunity. And while that opportunity presents itself, you need to be involved in it. And let me make my spiel. If you're not in Sunday school, it's like nothing to be ashamed of. But you need to be. Because you can meet with a fellowship of believers and you can discuss the word of God. Because that's what we do. We run it down. I seldom ever get a chance to finish the lesson. We move on and on before we know that what's going on with it and we feel comfortable with it. Now, Proverbs 3, I put 5 and 6 in there. It says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. If we could, folks, if we could understand just one thing, that this life that we're living and this thing that we're going through here, God put us here for a reason. He put you where you are right now for a reason. I don't know your reason. Sometimes I don't know my reason. But he did put me here for a reason. And what that means is I've got to follow his leading, not mine. I can tell you my leading will get you in a worse place. It gets you in a place you want to get out of real quick. But God's his leading never fails. He says, I'll direct your path. I'll show you where to go. Stay in relationship with me. Build your faith. And when you need a decision about where to go, what to do with this, pray. I'll build your faith. I'll show you where to go. And then when something else comes up like that again, you'll say, hey, I've been there and done that with God, and God was right. And he told me where I should go. Third thing, or it's actually the second thing, but number three in our hearts, is in order to grow our faith, we need problems. We need problems and trials. We don't want to hear that. But we need problems. We can't experience life going through it with absolutely nothing coming against us, with absolutely nothing wrong. You know, get up every day and say, Lord, I want this to happen, and it just like we said. Our faith's not going to be whether God does it or not. It's going to be what's going wrong when he doesn't. And that doesn't make him God. It makes us. So, what we need, we actually need trials and problems to go through. I know that's hard to swallow. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7 says this, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Your problems and your trials come in your life, and that's the way God had it set up. That's the way it is. And we will determine through that. We'll see how magnificent God is through every trial. And I've heard it said that you don't really know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. Then you'll know he's all you need. But you need to know that along beforehand. Jesus is all we need. He's all I need. He's all you need. I don't know where you are and what you're doing or what your situation is. He's all you need. He is all you need, and he's all you'll ever need. And we got to come to the realization of that. Now, the next one, and I'm finishing quickly. Did you all notice that? I mean, no, nobody said a word. I'm finishing very quickly here. The next thing we need to grow our faith, we need people. We need people. I want to really stress this one because I get a chance to see this sometimes, and it's a very rewarding thing to see. We need people. Now, Luke 22:31-32 says this, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, you strengthen your brethren. Now whatever you go through as a problem, as a trial that we just talked about, on the other end of that, you've got a testimony. That's one thing that the church is seriously lacking, in my opinion. Is you'll go through something that's large, mega large to you, and God will get you through that thing. And you'll come out on the, you come out on the other side going, God is really a God. He's a big God. But do you tell anybody? Did you take anybody aside and say, hey, I'll talk to you a minute and confide in? I see friendships sometimes in our Sunday school. I see that in all Sunday schools, but not just mine. But I see friendships growing. And some of them are growing from ministry participation. And I love to see that because you need somebody in the church, no matter who it is, that you can tell anything to, that you can confide in, that you can ask to be your prayer partner and pray for me. Please, I've got problems. You can share with them. And then you and that person, when it's over, can look back through it and say, hey, we prayed together and God delivered us through it. And the person that prays with you, they can say, hey, this prayer thing works. My faith is growing because I know God did that. There's some things that come up in your life and have been in my life where God has done it because nobody else could have done it. And I know no one else did it. I know it's God. And I know it's not a coincidence. And I know that happened. And that's what you need when you have a friend that you can sit down and share experiences with. You know, maybe just, I'm not talking about gossip now. I'm going to leave that alone, okay? But I'm talking about folks that you can share things with and you know, love deeply in Christ and be able to share that with. We need people. We need people. Now, the next thing I put was growing our faith, we need purpose in our life to grow faith. We need purpose. Now, what does that mean? It says, you know, I believe God put everything in his word. He could put his word into the mouth of human beings so that they could pass it on to others. We need purpose in our lives to grow faith. Faith's kind of like a muscle if you want to think about it. The more you exercise it, it needs to be stretched in order for you to grow. In order for the faith to grow. Christians need other Christians and they need to develop a purpose in their life. If there's any new event in your life, if you exercise your faith in it, then you'll find him faithful to it. He'll be faithful every time. Now that's the kind of God we got. He's not a God that, you know, I'm going to rest a while and I'll just get through. No. He's a God that loves you and hears every prayer you pray. And he wants to answer your prayer because his love is so great for you. And if you look, you look at purpose, looked at the, if you look at what Jesus did with the disciples and purpose, look at the, in anything, Jesus was with them, and I don't know if they understood what was going on when Jesus was with them, but such as feeding the 5,000 with, you know, a couple of fish, maybe a loaf of bread. Fed 5,000 people. Now, the disciples, they come to him and said, you know, all these people are gathering around here and it's time to eat. and we don't have anything to feed them, what are we going to do? Now, you're talking about stretching your faith. That'll stretch it, won't it? I mean, it will really stretch it. And so Jesus said, just keep emptying the baskets, and you know. And when it was over, they realized he fed all of them. And then, when they realized that, he did the same thing, 4,000 in another instance in the Bible. And then they came in from a beautiful story. They came in from fishing, been fishing all night long, hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus standing on shore and said, hey, and they said, we ain't caught anything all night long. He said, cast your nets on that side of the boat right there. Now, wouldn't there have been just a little bit of animosity on some of them and said, I know you think you're Lord and everything, but we give out. We're tired. We fished all night long. We ain't caught anything. We told you that. And they throw the net over there, and here comes more fish than they could gather. That's a faith builder. And then he sent them out into a storm on the Sea of Galilee. Can you just imagine? Scared to death, we're not going to ever make it back. And he rescues them again. He takes care of us. I think God puts us in situations like that where we're being promoted to a new school of faith, another level in the school of faith. And what we need to do to do it is to not look and cry fear every time something comes up. It's look to build faith. I'm trying to learn now, when God says, this is what we got to do, and I'm trying, rather than complain and be fearful, I learned, God, what are we trying to do in this? Is there a purpose? There is a purpose in it. So God, what's the purpose? That's the question we need to ask. God, where does this fit in your plan? Because it does, somewhere. Now that's the purpose, and here's, I call this perspective of faith. And Luke 17:5 down at the bottom of the page says, you don't have a page, do you? It says, and the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. That's what they came up with and said, let's increase our faith. Now, here's what I want to share with you on this. Is make the point that the size of your faith is not the issue here at all. Some people want to have faith in their faith. That's not the issue. It's not the issue for you to go around and say, man, my faith's so large, I can ask God anything. You're not going to be any more special to God than anybody else. He loves us all. He loves us all very deeply, and he cares for us. So don't go around trying to build your faith and continue to build your faith up and forget what you built it for. It's not faith itself. It's the object of your faith. If your faith's in this certain thing, then that's where it is, and you're going to live through that. But God, when your faith is in God, he's with you in everything. He's with you. And I saw this example. It said a guy was going to go ice fishing on a frozen lake. And would it be better for him to have a lot of faith and go fishing on a two-inch thick frozen lake, or have a little faith, and go fishing on a 12-inch? Which one would you do? I'd be checking my faith out, wouldn't you? But it's not about faith. It's the size of our faith based on him, based on what he has done in our life. And it's so very, very important. I hope that some of you got blessed by some of those things that'll help you grow your faith. I'm not panicked or anything like that, but I'm concerned about some things in the church. I want to see us get excited about God, because it excites me when I see you do it. I want to see our whole church get excited about God. And like I said, we need to look seriously at our attendance records, what we do. And you say, Mike, you telling that to the people that are here on Wednesday night? I know that. But who else are we going to get? We got to get somebody that's going to have to come through you. So I hope and pray that you would do that in the near future, and that you would make sure you're here first of all, and then, you know, invite somebody to be with you. We need to set as a goal for our Wednesday night service, not because I'm doing it now, because Wednesday night service, we need to set a goal of where we can just see the crowds come and come and come and build and build and build and build. And we'll be building our faith by seeing what God can do. God wants to do it. Make no mistake about that. But the question is, do you? Do I? And we've got to answer that in faith like we talked about tonight. Let us pray. And let me, I do not recall all those that are on that prayer concern list, Keith, but I'm going to lift them up as we pray tonight. And Lord, I just want to say thank you to you for, Lord, for loving me and for caring for me, Lord, and during difficult times and during times that are so enjoyable. I thank you, Lord, that you're faithful to me. I thank you that I've always found you to be that way. And Lord, I pray too for an increase in my faith. Help me, Lord, to be the kind of person you'd want me to be. Help me to be the person that would help others to see you, Lord, high and lifted up the way you'll always be. Bless those that are on this list. Bless those that need comforting and need prayer and need a touch from you tonight. I just pray, bless them. Lord, we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who we love and we worship. Amen.